Hallelujah. So can we pick a text from Romans chapter 11 as we stand up with our Bibles? And let's just spend some moments and look at what the Lord has in stock called the divine agenda. Remember, Romans chapter 11, and I'll read it from verse 25, and I'll read it up to verse 36. This is Apostle Paul, very revelated. For I will not, brethren. Now you should be ignorant of this mystery. It's a mystery. What is the mystery? Because he said, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. What is the mystery? That blindness in part is not total blindness. It's partial blindness. Blindness for a time only. Blindness in part is happened to Israel until when? Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. Be seated while I continue. I'm reading it up to verse 36. Amen. Please, no matter what happened, give me your ears. Very, very important that you hear what we want to say. That is the rock upon which God builds his church. It's a revelation of who Christ is. And who is Christ? Christ is the wisdom of God. Christ is the power of God. Christ is the instrument for this divine agenda. Hallelujah. That's why knowing him is life. It's the fountain of life. It's the bread of life. It's our everything. And verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved. Take note. All, not some. All Israel shall be saved. But you know now, the same Apostle Paul said, not all Israel are of Israel. So we are talking about when we say all Christians will be saved, have it at the back of your mind that not all Christians are of Christ. Am I saying something? And so all Israel shall be saved as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. And who is that deliverer? Say it. You know if you say it, no. It's Jesus now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Be good students. See, students who know what they are doing, they speak confidently. Now the chopper inside, you are afraid that you don't know it. When you are sitting before in the class, before teacher, you go to shake, they talk anyhow. They talk. When you are sitting in the class, you are careful. When you go out, you talk, we are bright. I had a classmate of mine back in those days when we were in school. It was a military school, so full of discipline. And our English master was a no-nonsense man. He used to use the boot of his shoe. If you misbehave during his class, he will use it and hit your bone. For the whole week, you are still in pains. So there is this classmate of mine, the general that visited me here. You saw him during my birthday. So we are sitting, they are the one, they make noise, they are the one, they are on top. They do this on them. So we did an assignment, and the English master, an army major then, he was reading it. Then he saw one, he said, who is this? Maybe he saw one grammatical mistake there. Then he and this my friend was sitting next to me, our seatmate. And then he said, "You," he called his name, "you stand up. What is the past participle of sent?" So he was expecting his close friend to help him. He was depending on me. Then I said, "Send it." I wanted them to hit him. I said, "Send it, send it." Then he said, "Send it, sir." I said, "I don't get this one. Come on." The whole class was, then when he was going, he was looking at me. Why are you looking at me? Then give a bah, bah, for leg. I said, "Shane, I say, you know English. Me, I don't know English." So in this class, if you know it, say it confidently or shut up. I said, "Who is that deliverer?" "Okay, why you not talk loud before? You are waiting for your seatmate to say it, then you repeat after him." Okay, that is on a lighter mood. I'm reading verse 27. "For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes." "But as touching the election, elect of God, they are beloved for the Father's sake." And who are these fathers? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This covenant. Now, verse 29. "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." And that's why I say, once you are saved, forever you are saved. God cannot save you today and regret saving you and unsave you. That doctrine is without proper understanding of what salvation process is all about. And in verse 30, he said, "For as you in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief." He said, even so, have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. That's very deep, but that's not where I'm going. "For God has concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all, both Jews and Gentiles." And then Apostle Paul screamed, "Oh, the depth of the mysteries, of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." That is the mystery. "For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? Finally, for of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever." And the church will say, hallelujah. And so all Israel shall be saved. And we are continuing with our topic, looking at the rapture. The last time we looked at events that take place before the rapture. Now, the rapture strikes in Revelation chapter 7. Let's read it from verse 9. Revelation chapter 7. Let's all read together. So if we can make it a little fast, and then we can cover some ground today. It says, "After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And what did they do? They cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, who is seated upon the throne and unto the Lamb." And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever." So anytime you sing that song, know that that song is a song of the redeemed. And it's not just of the redeemed, it's of the overcomers. Here you are, they see them standing before the throne, clothed in white robes. And that is talking about the righteousness of the saints. They are clothed in white robes because their garments cannot be stained. Hallelujah. Their garments cannot be stained. You know, they are washed with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now the rapture takes place, and then remember that in our study of the book of Daniel, from verse 24 of Daniel chapter 9, go and listen to that series we have taken. It's such a long series, very educative, very revealing. You will notice we said 70 weeks, the Bible says 70 week period, 70 week agenda given to the to Daniel, and it's supposed to be an agenda for his people, for the Jews. The program of the divine agenda, that is where the mystery of God is very interesting. When God grants you understanding, except he grants you understanding, you will never understand. You will just be there. That's why I call him the great encoder of the mystery of salvation. And he is also the only decoder of that encoded mystery. And when he decodes it to you, it's very exciting. Very interesting to know that you know where you are going, you know where you are coming from, you know where you are standing. You understand the divine agenda. You understand. And in this age, God has given us perfect understanding. Anybody groping in darkness, you are groping because you have refused to study. Or you refuse the light that has been shown, and you are sticking rather to traditions. There are many things we hold on to in our Christian faith that is just mere tradition that has been handed over to us from religion. There are things that you read in the Bible, from the Bible, presented in the Bible, that look literal. But when you look at it, you will discover that they are not literal. I use the example, you know, of in fact, the whole of the book of Revelation is a book of symbols. Everything there is symbolic, and you need to have it cracked down to understand. If not, you will just be a theologian. Without revelation. And that is the problem with Christianity. You see? We just follow tradition, and some people are so full of tradition, until even when light comes and there is a need now to embrace reality, they still prefer to hold on to their tradition. Even when you break it down for them to understand that this tradition is fulfilled, now you don't need it again like the Jews. The law now, you don't need that law again. All those ordinances in the Old Testament, you don't need them again. We now, it is already fulfilled. It was a shadow. The Jews, we still hold on to it. Like people from eastern part of Nigeria here, Igbo, who no matter how converted they are, they still believe there is something called Osu. Even sitting down here now, there are people here that will not marry an Osu. No matter how you showed them that in Christ there is no slave, salvation is for all, man or woman, Osu, born or free, slave, whatever you call it. After all, it's not God that made them Osu. You are the one that made them Osu. Tradition. And so no matter how, the same thing with Christians. No matter what, to tell the average Christian that Jesus was not born 25th December, you are talking your own. It's a tradition they have held and they are holding on to it. No matter how you break it down, they will not see it. The same thing tradition has taught us concerning the rapture. Ba 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 pia 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 pia. And that is the same thing we are carrying on and carrying on and carrying on. You are waiting one day, you will hear the trumpet. Ba, 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 ba. Oh, that is why when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. When the rollers call up yonder, I'll be there. So you are waiting. Everybody is waiting now to hear that trumpet from heaven. And we are tearing it down to say it's not like that. Oh, you are wasting your time. That's why they cannot see water baptism, tradition. That's why they cannot see that Trinity as priests is not in the Bible, tradition. It's the same tradition that makes some people believe they will not answer the call of God unless they go to Bible school. It's tradition. Hallelujah. But the just shall not live by tradition. Oh, glory be to God. The church shall live by faith. Revelation. Revelation. From revelation to revelation. From revelation to revelation. We move every day. As the day gets nearer for homegoing, God Himself makes this agenda clearer and clearer and clearer. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It is our compass from earth to glory. And the bride of Jesus Christ is rooted in the word. For that is where perfection comes. It's in the word. Hallelujah. It's in the word. And what is perfection? It's about balancing. It's about balancing. It's about balancing. We must balance. Hallelujah. We must balance. Isaiah 28 spoke about precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. And I told you something. He said, who will he touch knowledge? Who will he teach knowledge? Who is qualified? He said, they that are weaned from milk and drawn from the breast. Yes, sir. Correct? Yes, sir. Eh? From the breast. Now one breast. Now one breast, eh? Now God do mistake, give woman two breasts. It's for balance. Hallelujah. For proper nourishment. If you have only one breast, that child will grow up kwashoko. Oh, glory be to God. You will have enough nourishment. Hallelujah. God has distributed it and then put certain minerals in one breast and put others again in the other breast. And then He has programmed the child. Amen. When the child is hungry, hallelujah, where does the child go to? It goes to where the source of food is. Where? The breast. And then no child will eat from only one breast. Ask any mother. When you keep giving, after some time, the child will come out of mouth. He won't change position. He wants it from the second breast. It is for balance. That is why He gave us two legs. Not one leg. If one leg cut, you will need a stick to compensate for the other one. He gave two eyes, not one eye. And it is for focus. One eye cannot focus. Oh, it has to be two. If you have only one ear, you will not hear properly. He gave you two ears. Hallelujah. And every... Okay. He gave us two hands. Everything is two, two, two. It is for balance. Anything that requires a balance, he gives us two. And concerning salvation, he gave us two. The Old Testament and the New Testament. Hallelujah. When Samson was to deal with the Philistines, he didn't hold only to one pillar. They took him between two pillars. He held one by the right hand, left hand. He held another one by the right hand. And then brought it down and destroyed all the Philistines. And all the Philistines that are following you, that live within you, that makes you to fall down every time from grace, we need to hold the two pillars of the Old and New Testament to pull and scatter them out of our lives. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I emphasize this for a reason. Because the same problem that goes on in every age is still going on today among believers who see the light. Luther came out and saw with a light. They followed him in that revival. And when more light was to be brought forth through John Wesley, some followed him, but some remained with Luther, refused to go further. The same thing also with the Jews. They held on to the Old Testament, the law. And when grace came, they could not, they did not have the ability to follow the light for their day, to find a balance. And always remember, the new revelation does not knock off entirely the old revelation. It is to add more strength. It's more light. You don't throw that, you add it to what you already have for proper balance. And when we go on and on, that is the same story until we reach this end again. When this end time, when Pentecostalism drew out after Wesleyan's holiness revival that restored the holiness of the church, now the gifts came, and those who followed the gifts, the outpour of the gifts of the Spirit of God that was lost during those 1,000 years of the Dark Ages, they decided to drop holiness. It doesn't matter, because now see miracles, signs and wonders happening. And therefore the Pentecostals lost the balance. And when you stand and you lose balance, what happens? You fall. Because there must be something to balance you. When you want to fall like this, it balances you. Hallelujah. And the worst, the most guilty of all of them, are the followers of the ministry of William Branham. They are found there. I didn't say all, but they are found there. And almost most of those I have met, they believe that we have seen the light for the day, and therefore no gifts again. I just don't know how Satan succeeded to mess up this revival. Mess it up until now. People who get converted through our ministry cannot fit in many of these intermediate churches outside Lagos, outside the Bride Assembly here. You go there and then they are busy reading sermons of William Branham. If it is to read the sermons of William Branham, do I need any special call to read for you people to hear? Do I need any special call to play the tape of William Branham, and I'm standing at the altar like Deeper Life does with the sermons of Kumuyi? And then you say you're a pastor. God call you. Call you to do what? They are the ones that are messing up this because they have no call. You are not to come and read it. Read. Are we not reading the epistles of Paul here? We read it for a text and break it down. William Branham said, say what the tapes say. He didn't say you should come like a parrot. What he's saying is talking about the revelation that is coming out there, because that is where the balance is. And we are who we are today. They can't come near us. We look too strange to them. For somebody to collect microphone and then give thus said the Lord. Ha! Enter message church. Only William Branham. Satan is a liar. Anytime I see what they are doing with this glorious message that restored us and gave us a balance in the understanding of Scripture, I get so angry, so angry. But one thing I know is the statement of the Lord Jesus Christ still remains. I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail. The truth is this. There are human beings on this earth that have been ordained unto deception. There are people that are ordained to be deceived. They are ordained to be deceived. But there are also those who are ordained unto eternal life. Are they here today? Are they here today? Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That is why we try to make this picture clearer and clearer and clearer. Why I say so is, the fact that you are here listening to me, sitting down here now, it's not all who are in Bride Assembly that are the bride of Jesus Christ. I say this, and I say it, you know, with all sense of responsibility, knowing what I hear and what I see. You know, for a Christian, somebody to claim he's a Christian, and you are anxiously awaiting the soon coming of the Lord. We are trimming our lamp, getting ourselves ready. Sitting now in a ministry like this, where all our emphasis is homegoing, preparation. Sitting down here, some of them here for years. And there will be somebody that does not talk to another person. And they read the course that is placed. That if you come to the Lord's table in that estate, what will happen to you? And they come and they take communion. And nothing is disturbing their hearts. And they are going there. I said here. They may be sitting there here now. They didn't hear me. And no matter how you preach it to them, you are wasting your time. They have made up their mind. This is how I want to live my life. And if that is the spirit in you, I am telling you, you need a serious dose of heartbreaking experience. Your heart is too stubborn to prepare you for the rapture. Because this Bible is our mirror. Every one of you, before you left your home and entered road to come to church, you stood by a mirror to check your dress. This is our mirror. Before we get out to the rapture. Sitting down here, you still hear of fornication. Sitting down here, we cannot trust one another enough to confide even in one another. You can't successfully, confidently, employ somebody because he's part of you. And for your information, don't go and employ anybody because he's a church member. Go and get guarantor. And I'm not a guarantor. By the time they finish you, you will know. Whoever the person is risky now. You say, but we are all Christians. How do I know that we are all Christians? Only God knows. And I told you that a Christian is not known in the church. Oh, praise the Lord. I said this because it's happening here. And you know, and they are comfortable with it. Comfortable with it. It doesn't mean anything. And they'll tell you, I know how I serve my God. I know how. Of course, we know you know who you are. We know you know what you are doing. But line it up with the Bible before you take your stand. Why will a Christian for another brother stay and you cannot talk to each other? Talk to each other. What did he do to you? What did he do to you? He stopped you from going to heaven? Jesus has paid it all. Nobody can stop you from going to heaven. Praise the Lord. He took your money, Abby. Hand him over to God and push ahead. She collected your boyfriend. It's not she, it's the boy that is useless. Hallelujah. You should rejoice that you are going to marry, because if that your friend didn't take, another woman will take him